Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Larry Richard, unfiltered with Jim Crensans. Sheila Hyland, she couldn't be with us this week, but we wanted to have representation, didn't we, Jim?
Absolutely.
So we appreciate you tuning in. This is Episode 8. Want to first thank the guys from 23rd and Vine. It's a great wine bar on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge. If you haven't been, Bobby, Louie, and Ray will treat you right.
It's beautiful, too, isn't it?
It's cool. Yeah, it's a really cool space. This reminds me of couple of places we saw in Italy.
I thought the
remember
same
that
thing. The backyard they have, the courtyard they have with the lights and the whole deal and the heaters. So stop out, man. The heaters are you know, going. It's been nice weather lately anyway, so
yeah. We'll and we're honored to have Gretchen McKay back. This is a big time of the year for people who love food,
right?
And who doesn't? You're a food editor who loves to cook. That's kind of your handle now.
It is my handle now. I cook all the time, and it's funny, this time of year, people are thinking about cooking on Thanksgiving. I'm actually cooking my Thanksgiving dinner weeks in advance.
Weeks?
Yeah.
Weeks?
Well,
oh,
yeah.
My.
Because tomorrow I'm going to be cooking and carving a turkey. Because we have such deadlines that, you know, so I get to enjoy it two times.
Well, there was a news story just this week about how you can take everything you would typically eat at your Thanksgiving and how long the refrigerator life is for leftovers.
Right.
That's the next phase.
The next phase.
But you're doing this in advance.
I love the leftovers. Don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the best. The turkey sandwich.
Some ways it's better
sauce
than the original.
You put everything on one bread.
I don't know.
Everything.
I'm not a turkey fan, personally.
No.
No.
Oh, do you have a fear of tryptophan?
No.
Is that it?
Are you a vegan or something? Or is that...
No.
I'm just curious.
And it's funny, by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, I'm so sick of Thanksgiving, having already cooked it, you know, a couple times, that, you know, it's no big deal for me.
No. So you're cooking it a couple times for Post-Gazette or something? Once?
Right, yeah, because we're taking photos. Okay. I do all my stories in advance. So, yeah, I have to test everything that I write about and that, you know, I photograph and it's in the papers, so we know it's good.
How many people do you have to plan to serve? I mean, how many people are you cooking for?
How many am I personally cooking for this year? Probably only about 10. But I have cooked for many, many more. I have cooked so many Thanksgiving dinners over, you know, my adult life that... Honestly, I will be happy to turn it over to a kid someday.
You know, my entire life, I've never gotten called up from the kid table. I'm still at the kid table with a family stuff.
And that is the
table.
Absolute worst.
It's like I got called up for a cup of coffee once, then boom, back down. One time.
You know, I used to hate that. Even as a kid, I hated it.
I lived at the kid table. I still do. The kid table is my home. I'm like,
I don't know. I grew up, I had the, I was one of seven, and so we had many people at Thanksgiving dinner, and I was always in the hall at a card table.
Oh, you
what,
the, there you go.
What number are you in the pecking order?
I'm number six.
Oh, you never saw the big table either.
Not until my older siblings went off to college.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's okay.
Well, the fact is,
they don't even let me in the room.
I think when we grew up, people didn't go out to eat nearly. I mean,
my
almost
God.
Never.
I never went out to eat. Ever.
No.
Not even McDonald's.
We went to Winkies.
Oh, Winkies.
Scotty's, Winkies, all the big
Scotty's. I forgot
Winkies
about Scotty's.
Hot dogs. Yeah. That was the
Sandy's.
Best.
We want to go big time, go to Ritter's.
Ritter's.
And
yeah.
The big thing in Millville, I'd go see my grandfather, and he would give us, he had those Coke bottle lenses. Mm-hmm. You didn't know if he was looking at you or.
I had those.
Yeah, you.
Yeah,
and,
I did.
And he would give us enough to go down to Isley's to get the skyscraper or a milkshake.
I love the milkshake there. Yeah, I used to. That and a Sunday.
Yeah, so people.
Sunday guy.
Sunday?
Loved it. Loved Isley's.
And the chip chopped ham.
Yeah, no, I don't like that either.
You don't
really?
What do you mean?
What?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the greatest. You didn't probably didn't have it right. You should let Larry and I prepare one for
well,
you.
Well, what do
the
you do?
Proper
barbecue
way.
Sauce?
We can't tell. It's a secret.
That's all.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
It's got to be Isley's.
It's okay. I mean, when my brothers come in from out of town, I always have to go buy them a pound of chip chopped hams to take back to Alabama and Atlanta, but not a fan.
You know, I'll ask a professional question.
Sure.
I'm a bachelor, and I was watching, I don't cook, but I watched this infomercial
right
on this thing called the Ninja, and they were cooking on the Ninja. It looked incredible. It looked so easy.
Cooking
it's like dumbed down,
easy.
So nice. You just put in this little thing, poof, it's done. Poof. Looks beautiful. Did you ever hear this thing? You know, it's like an air fryer. And,
you know, I got an air fryer. I've only used it a couple times.
Really?
I had a disaster with an air fryer.
The rage.
Well, my
warn
wife
me.
Says,
what, is it bad?
You know, we should get one of those. And
there
at the
go.
Time,
she
there
sold,
was a, there was a run on
Sandy
them.
Sold the Ninja commercial.
But you couldn't get them at the time. This is about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And they wanted to do at least a portion of the seven fishes for Christmas uh-huh. Eve. You okay. know, the Italian
right.
tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was in charge of getting the air fryer. It took, I don't know how many trips I went different places. Yeah. Finally got one.
They didn't have the
Came
Ninja.
Home.
Yeah.
And my sole job was to do the shrimp.
Ah.
And in the air fryer, it just, it
How'd
didn't
it work. No.
Oh, I got hollered at.
What'd you do?
Because
you,
the,
you,
they
you
didn't come
remove
out.
The veins in the shrimp. I know that.
Got to do that.
Cut the back.
You
got to
de-vein them, yeah.
Huh?
No, I got hollered at. I'm not. These are horrible.
Oh,
the first
really?
Batch. Oh, it was awful.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were awful.
Why would you do them in an air fryer? Shrimp is so easy to cook on stovetop.
I don't
it
know.
Takes, like,
it looks real
minutes.
Easy. On
no,
the
but
Ninja.
They could, like Jimmy said. Yes. They told you it was easy.
It looks easy. You just put it in there. Boom.
You hit the button and it's supposed to be done, and
even
it wasn't.
Times it for you.
My
even
kids love them.
Timer.
So
the air fryers.
Yeah, I do. And actually, the Ninja Jimmy is on my holiday gift guide this year in the for cooks in the biscuit.
Wow. You're a visionary, Jim.
They got tons of them at Target, so.
Do they?
I'm getting one.
Plenty
yeah.
of a supply. What's an air fryer cost?
I think this one was in the neighborhood of, I think it was around $100, but you can get them.
Yeah, there's a Ninja XL.
Yeah.
It was like $230, but I think that does everything.
Yeah,
that
but you can get them for $60 or $70. Black Friday's coming up. Jimmy, why don't you cook?
I don't have the touch. You have to have a touch for cooking. You have to have a thing for cooking and a passion for it. And I don't have a passion for eating, but I don't have that. Because I think because it's time. Maybe I just want the air fryer because it's quicker or something.
Yeah.
It just takes time, it seems like. And then you have to, all this mess you have to clean up. It's and then you sit there and go, you know what? If I order Uber Eats, it comes there. It's beautiful.
I got DoorDash.
Clean it up in 1 second. Boom. So I don't know. I can make eggs. I'm
all
real
right.
good at I am really good at eggs. I would challenge you. I could make the best egg, scrambled eggs.
All right.
Are you familiar with the actor Stanley Tucci?
Yes.
He did a series of cooking shows from Italy.
Yep. I was
Are
a
you
fan.
Familiar?
Yep.
And people love this stuff.
Yep. Hmm.
But why is it a guy is called a chef if he cooks and a woman isn't necessary? What do they call a woman that cooks?
A chef.
Still chef?
A chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was Julia Childs?
A chef.
she
spy
was.
And a
well,
chef.
I mean, a lot of times people consider you a chef if you've gone to culinary school or you work in a restaurant. So I would consider Julia Childs a chef. She taught cooking classes. I mean, she was very
What's
accomplished.
What's a sous chef?
A sous chef is somebody who helps the executive chef. It's just lower pecking.
Well, you know, I first.
You're probably the sous chef.
I started my career at Ponderosa Steakhouse.
You were a sous chef?
there? I never ascended to chef there. I was the potato and bun man.
Which is the sous chef.
So I was the sous chef. You know, the guys that were the cool dudes got to be the steak guys.
Right.
They got the girls and they got,
steak
you know,
guys always
people,
get the girls.
Level of respect. Mm-hmm. And then I was the potato and bun man, there and I go. Worked hand in hand with the drink girl.
But the salad person looked up to you. There's always somebody there.
So what happened was, I lied about my age. I was only 15, and the guy says, you can't work here. So then I turned 16, and then I went up to Eaton Park. I cooked at Eaton Park.
Wow, step up.
You are ambitious.
You know where that old saying, there's always something special, cooking?
Yeah.
That was me. They just didn't know what it was.
They didn't know what
you
it
moved
was.
Up to, the, to like actually cooking, though?
Serious.
Jeez. Well,
that's tremendous.
I used to go to Ponderosa. I shouldn't admit that. I mean, when my kids were little, my parents took us there every Sunday, and it was the most awesome thing ever.
You just turned the kids loose on the buffet?
Yeah, the buffet and the ice cream and all that stuff. And But I can tell you, I think their chefs cooking the steaks were 15.
Yeah, well, you know.
They weren't very good.
So you know where I trained?
Where?
McKee's Rocks, Eaton Park.
I heard of that.
Did 300 breakfast. You talk about cooking eggs.
You must, well.
I think we need a cook-off here.
I think we need a cook-off. I think you could probably rival me there. If you're that good. I always like the Michelin chef at Ground Round. That's where I used to eat.
Ground Round.
Ground Round. Great place.
We had one out in the North Hills anyway.
Is there a Ground Round anywhere?
I think there's
one in Moon, maybe, or something.
Moon, yeah.
Is there still a Ground Round?
I'd like to go visit. Robert Morris, I think.
I think it's still there, right?
Wow.
Was there? Well, you know how my cooking career ended?
Oh, I do want to know, actually.
So I'm standing there, and
there
people
marks?
Always used to ask about the hot turkey sandwich and the gravy. Mm. Well, the gravy thing was where all the stuff around it was.
You're not going to lift your shirt and have some weird scars and stuff. Prepare me.
No.
This is why I stopped, Jimmy.
But the waitresses would say, hey, you got my order, or are you just going to stand there and look out the window? And I'm thinking,
yeah, and
I'm going to look out the window. I became the weather guy.
Right.
I mean, eventually, it was instantaneous.
You looked at it as a decision.
But it looked more,
you made the right decision.
It looked more attractive. But the worst thing was back when people hitchhiked.
Yeah.
This is on McKnight Road.
Uh-huh.
When I first got the Ponderosa job, we only had one car, and my dad went to work. He worked 3 nights a week, so I had to hitchhike in my Ponderosa polyester pants and
nice.
Shirt.
That's
nice.
A look.
With the kerchief thing or whatever that thing is called around your neck.
Who picked
and
you
hat.
Up?
I tried to hide the hat.
You probably look like a serial killer.
I know.
They picked you up. That's how every ID Discovery show starts out with. He was wearing a polyester brown
with
pants.
Scenes from Gone with the Wind on the back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I used to hitchhike at Penn State. I worked at Toft Trees, and I would have to hitchhike because I didn't have a car. But people wouldn't do that. If my kids hitchhiked today, I'd kill them. My husband used to, when we were dating, hitchhike from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. So,
and think nothing of it.
I mean, he had a couple, you know, close
weirdos.
Encounters.
Close encounters with serial killers?
Well, I don't know if they were serial killers.
Larry,
but
you would have
there were some weirdos.
If you train hopped back then, with your harmonica skills, you'd been like a huge.
I could have been a hobo.
You could have
been amazing.
Hobo.
You'd been like idolized by.
Hey, I cook. I play the harmonica
on the train. It'd been unbelievable. You'd have an album up by now.
Well, how'd you plan to get to work on time if you were hitchhiking?
You had to factor that in. Like you had to factor wait time in. But you know what? Now, Sebastian Maniscalco, who's rapidly becoming one of the top comedians in the country, he's coming here, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
PPG Paints on December 2nd. He says that Uber is this age's hitchhiking. He says, how do you know who's coming? So. They're going to pick you up in a Ford Fiesta with, they got groceries in the back seat, a car seat for an infant with an infant in it.
They got
and then he goes, what's Uber X? And then there's Uber Black. Yes, well, that's what he said. But he said it's essentially hitchhiking in the modern world because you just hit the app. And you don't know who's coming.
When you were hitchhiking, did you ever have a weird person? Did you ever get one? I mean, you hitchhiked every day. There are you when you go, you know what? I am going to shoulder roll out of this car at the red light.
I did have a friend. I didn't. But there was a guy when we were hitchhiking.
Yeah.
A friend of mine named Jim. And he got picked up by this guy. And the guy asked him if he was blonde.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'm blonde.
Was he wearing a hat?
No. He wanted to know.
That's not
if
really
the
an attack.
Carpet matched the dress.
Oh, he's like that. He's like,
that's what he asked him, and then he got out of the car.
Oh,
so that kind of soured our
Did you ever?
We didn't want to do that.
Did you have an escape plan? Did you, Gretchen? Did you think of that, an escape thing? Did you ever have a bad person?
No, but you know,
all good people.
But like I said, my husband had a couple close encounters.
Like that, weirdos like that.
Yeah, like weirdos. Yeah.
See, I watch too much ID Discovery, man. I'm afraid of everything.
All right, we want to talk about all things Thanksgiving. Gretchen McVeigh. Post Gazette, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Sheila will be back for episode 9. Wait, she travel or something? Last time she was at Disney.
She has some kind of project, I think she's doing today. You know what? I just want to mention, I have a show at the Lamp Theater in Irwin on the night before Thanksgiving. So if anybody out there, give the Lamp Theater
Light the
a
Lamp
call.
For it's Jim Krenn.
Light the Lamp. It's a cool theater.
All right, hang on just a second. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Sheila with us next week. In the meantime, we've got Gretchen McVeigh, who is a food editor, extraordinary cook, apparently, with a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Now, when people find out what you do, they get all kind of questions. I would imagine it's like being a doctor. When somebody finds out you're a physician or a dentist, then they suddenly... Hey, I got to show you. And then they start showing you body parts.
Like they ask questions.
They do. You know, it's funny because I'm the food editor. So I'm in charge of the content that's in our food section. But I am not the restaurant reporter. That would be my colleague, Dan Gigler. So people are always asking me restaurant questions, which I may or may not, you know, have the answer to.
Right.
Because that's sort of not my beat. But I do very often get lots of cooking questions. So.
Yeah, I would imagine. So what's the number one question people want to know?
The number one question people ask me is, you know, what's my favorite thing to cook, or how do I cook so much and I'm not, you know, a huge person? I guess those are the two.
No, you're petite.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned why I don't cook, and I think why other people don't cook, too. It's like I read this book by the late Anthony Bourdain, Kitchen Confidential, and... Yeah, there are a lot of injuries in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
It's dangerous.
A lot
place.
Of cuts, a lot of burns. The way
oh,
this book read, I'm like, oh, my God. It's somebody. And then when I cook, every once in a while, I burn my hand or burn my finger. And I'm like, this could be dangerous for me.
I burn myself.
I was going to ask
all
you.
Every time I make cookies, I burn my wrists on the oven.
It's like a badge of honor, though.
Yeah, really. And I've cut a fingertip off on a mandolin, which I won't use anymore.
What's
a mandolin? You know, it's a very sharp... instrument that's sort of, you go like this.
Oh,
a planer.
A planer.
Like for potatoes or something, like making thin potatoes.
And I just won't use one anymore.
No, I wouldn't either.
No,
see,
and
that's what I mean.
Peeler, I've cut myself with that, and I've grated knuckles on a grater.
I would have four fingers right now if I cooked.
You know.
Right.
You just sort
thing,
of.
Grated knuckle thing.
It's too dangerous. And honestly, I'm hoping my wife doesn't hear this because I've played dumb our whole marriage.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how good an actor I really am because
she
thinks
knows.
I can't.
She knows.
She
told me.
Well, I'll ask her really dumb questions. And I admit, you know, after all this time, all this experience, and I did cook for a period of time. So there are some basic things that I should know. But I still ask her. I'm compelled to ask her every time if I do get some leftovers out, how long should I put this in a microwave? And it drives her crazy. That I ask.
I got
repeatedly.
Well, you're like a grown man.
That's what she said. You're like a grown man.
You know, funny,
that's
though,
the operative part.
It was beaten into your head. Like, my mom's 83, Lou. And Lou, that era, I guess people must have died of trichinosis or some sort of bacteria. Because everything has to be cooked extra well.
Oh, okay. I grew up in a
bacteria,
completely
cook
different.
It well. It's like just burnt and crispy.
No. My mother's 93, or she's going to be 93, and I grew up with a woman who never put anything in the refrigerator. Leftovers always were just on the counter.
Just wing it.
Yeah. And you know what?
I
never.
You all lived.
Ever get sick.
Really?
I never have stomach upset from food. I think I just.
You got enough
Lou,
immunity.
Lou wouldn't believe you. You should see her.
Oh, my God. No, my mother would just leave it on the counter. The leftover turkey would go in our pantry, and it was just.
Where's your mother from originally?
Oil City.
Well, that explains it.
Lou wraps up leftovers like it's a UPS packet. Lou, yeah. It can be no air, nothing. all the, it's a germ thing going on. No. So you're saying it's not? It's just okay.
Well, that's just was my experience. But my husband, he's always like, "How long has this been in the fridge? How long can I still in?"
Do you guys remember the first seeing the first microwave in your life? We had a neighbor. He always had the latest thing. My buddy's dad. They had 9 kids, and so he had the first microwave in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. His name was Bill Diamond, a very innovative guy, and he was. You could tell thinking about the future. He knew that sealing things up and being able to freeze them and then bring them back out.
He was on it.
He was on it, but he experimented with us. There were some things we got.
He just gave it to you and said, "Let's see if Larry gets sick."
Tubed meat of some sort.
Okay. Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We didn't trust
you
it.
Lived.
That it was actually cooking.
Oh, the microwave.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid. It was a miracle. Like, I can't believe
this. When did they come? I think the first one I had was in 86. We were living in Hong Kong. And I had the first computer of anybody.
Really?
And all this stuff. Yeah.
Wow. What was it like living in Hong Kong? That's interesting. Huh? As a kid, interesting, huh?
She sheni ne hauma boka chita chin.
I did that set Larry up. I knew he knows it. He says that phrase. I've heard him say it a few times.
The only thing I ever learned to say, and I can't remember it now, and I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but there's a Chinese saying is, you take off your pants just to fart.
I think okay, I think that's
if somebody,
I know it's unfiltered, so you're okay.
I wish I could remember. Next time I'll remember.
How do you say it?
I don't remember, but it's the only thing I know.
Don't hold back, Gretchen.
No, don't say it.
I want to use that one.
My ears are not garbage cans. Sorry.
That's right.
No, I don't want
to
hear that.
I'm going to admit something today.
Yeah.
So this
falls
into with my wife saying, really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like a grown man, and you don't know after all this time, you could put the pasta in a dish, cover it with a napkin, and
then it won't get dirty.
How long? Yeah, it won't blow up in a microwave. And how long should you put it in there till it's right? You don't know that. Today, on the way here, for the first time in my life.
And how old are you?
I'm not saying.
Okay.
You'll have 25. To do some carbon testing on my clothing. I'm 62.
Okay.
I laminated at work for the first time. You
first
know how
laminate
you,
ever.
I've never laminated before. They're calling me now Larry the Laminator.
I
walked through the building. I said,
goals,
anyone,
Larry, goals.
Anyone need anything laminated?
I actually do. I need my COVID card laminated.
Yeah.
I can do it.
I'm going to give it to you.
I can do it.
Bring it back when I see it.
So I'm going to be on the sidelines for Pitt. If it rains, I have to have my charts waterproof. And the boss says, why don't you get those laminated? I go, where do you do that? He goes, right back here. I said, well, do you know how to do it? He goes, I don't know how to do it. So
that's a big jump.
So we asked one of our account execs. She's one of the younger people in the office.
Yeah.
She goes, I feel like a kindergarten teacher.
Sure.
You put the paper in between the plastic. You turn the thing on till it heats, almost like cooking, and you send it through, and it seals.
I would like to learn.
That is so awesome. That is just awesome. Isn't it amazing what a person can do?
I know.
I laminated. And here's this really sad part. I feel really excited and proud of myself.
I'm proud of you, too, by the way. I want to learn. I'm jealous.
You didn't know I was a laminator.
I want to learn how to do it. You show me
the you come to the station.
I'm going to come up the station. Would you
You're welcome anytime.
All right, I'll bring my card.
You know
card.
What?
You can do
this
it.
Is why women is the superior, you know.
Oh, that That's many why. Other things.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
We're not going to argue with that. So let's talk about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So this is the one holiday we share with Native Americans, but there's controversy about that too. But to some degree, they sat down. And they decided to have a big meal together.
I think it all worked out then. It was later the bad stuff. But
they didn't actually
like,
hey, have.
It was later bad.
I don't think they actually had turkey.
The beginning was like, come on in. I know. You have to hear.
They didn't have turkey, I don't think.
Why
think
not?
Deer.
Deer. Well,
I wasn't there.
Why wouldn't they have turkey?
A guinea fowl or something. I was just reading
what
this
else?
On the internet.
So the pilgrims, they came.
Are we going to get all political here?
Pie.
No.
Okay.
They were in those outfits.
And corn.
Because they were escaping.
Stop me, I can't.
Religious persecution.
No, right.
And then they got here, and eventually they, whatever happened after, Jim's right. Apparently in that moment, that's the only holiday that we would share with the native people.
Yeah.
They go, let's have, so what do you think was there? You don't think turkey?
Oh, I did a story on this once, and I can't remember, but no, there was no turkey. So
what?
I read that too. I read another one where there was.
Maybe you read Gretchen's article.
Here, wasn't there? Were there no turkeys in America?
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know either. I don't know. I think it was waterfowl, is what I just read.
Waterfowl would be good. Here you go.
Yeah.
Which does taste like chicken.
Yeah, yum.
Which
not so good. Anyway, that's anyway. That's the tradition of what we
boar,
still do.
Wild boar. That was here.
Okay.
They had that. No, I'm making that up. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it would have
so
been.
So what was the... Well, your research showed what?
Don't put me on the spot here. I don't remember. I didn't know I was going to be quizzed.
Well,
you're kind of like a grown woman.
You're very confident with the venison, so we go from there.
Okay. I can tell you all about turkey today
gravy?
If you want to
know
about
Thanksgiving
today.
Have you ever?
They have a card table.
Do I have a card
table?
No,
did they have a Thanksgiving, no, the first one? Did they have a card table?
I don't
was
think
there
so.
A kid table?
I'm sure there was. There was kids.
There probably was.
Sit on that bale of hay.
It had to be a little kid table. The first Thanksgiving.
Did
they have a drunk uncle who started fights?
Probably.
Yes.
Probably.
Did they have alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
No?
Fire well, the water, baby.
No, the pilgrims, I don't think they drank alcohol, did they?
Oh, man, they loved it.
I am so embarrassed. I don't remember.
They created fireballs.
Fireballs.
So good. Yeah. Really good. They made all kind of booze.
Anyway.
With corn. They found corn. Larry, they forgot to make...
How about corn? Can we agree there was corn?
We'll agree they had corn.
All right. So what was the deal? So that's where the basis of all this tradition comes from.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So today, the staples.
Why am I not eating a deer?
Staple. No venison. Mm-hmm. You can have a turkey.
You can have a turkey.
Sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, green beans, stuffing.
Okay, it starts with venison. No, where did it shift? Well, we think deer. Where does it shift to turkey? When did it get there? How did? What happened? Was there 1 year? Someone said, "I hate venison, and I love turkey." We're gonna somehow
have you
caught
ever
on
had venison.
Yeah, yeah. It's not so gamey.
Yeah,
but it's a little.
That's
gamey.
What happened. They said, you know, little gamey. We're going turkey. That's what happened.
I don't know the
man
history
named Butterball.
That.
I wonder when it shifted.
I'm going to Google that on a break.
I just have
well, that was like 1600 something, so I'm not going to hold you to it. Some people don't want to have anything to do with the traditions of Thanksgiving in terms of the meal.
Right.
I know people that will purposefully go and get Chinese food or something
really?
Different.
I do that on Christmas.
Oh, really? It's like a protest kind of thing?
No, just, you know, I don't know. I'm not a fan of turkey. What can I say? If you have to do it at Thanksgiving... It's tradition, but...
Yeah, my dad was never a fan of turkey.
No.
He used to have a steak.
Hmm.
My mom made
for Thanksgiving?
Steak. Yes, he hated turkey, so my mom make a steak. And then I'm eating a turkey, I'm envious of this. I'm like, I like that steak.
I'd rather have that steak. That steak
sure.
smells a lot better.
Although, leftovers. That's the key. Turkey leftovers with the right, you know, sweet potatoes, right?
Yep.
Like the gooey maple ones. And then you put the cranberry sauce. Bread, it's better. I see, to me, it's better than the meal, the leftover. And drink pickle juice on the side.
I had another Thanksgiving cooking disaster.
Okay.
Deep frying a turkey.
I did that 1 year.
Show me the scar.
I did that 1 year.
It's dangerous.
It was the scariest thing I ever did.
It was terrifying. Because then I
did it on my driveway.
I started looking up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's warnings all over the place and videos of people blowing up their house or the porch.
Still is.
And
that's why I won't do it.
But they say if you do it right.
Yeah.
Which
everyone
I didn't.
Everyone says that, Larry.
It tastes like turkey.
They all say it. Before they go to the ER.
That's
the
scary.
Last
and then
words
what do you
heard.
Do with all the oil? Do you know what I mean?
You have
to buy like 5 gallons
As they're bringing
of oil.
Them in the ER, they're thinking, they were told, if you do it right, it's good.
If you do
last
it
words
right.
You hear.
All right, so what's the
turkey?
Did it
blow up?
No, I burned it.
Did you get
and
hurt?
Ruined
easy to
it.
Hurt? Got to have it the right temperature.
I ruined it.
Did you get hurt?
I didn't get hurt, fortunately. But I burned a turkey and it ruined.
I got to tell you, I've had the deep fried. It's not me cooking over you. It is the best. I think you'd even like it.
If somebody knows what they're doing, I think so.
Yes.
Well, I'm just kind of an adult man.
Just kind of.
So, hang on. We got to talk about, let's get down to the brass tacks of Thanksgiving. We're unfiltered. Larry Richard with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, Gretchen McBay is our special guest.
McKay!
I'm sorry. I thought, were you with Fleetwood Mac?
Yes,
no, that's Christy McVie. I'm sorry.
McKay.
My apologies. I've only been up since 3.
Okay.
But we can actually
I
have
know
Jim.
This feeling. I've been there.
I'll just do a,
a cig out, we can. Could you just take that out?
Oh no, we got to keep that in. That's great.
The part where I keep saying Gretchen's name.
No, you got to keep it in.
My byline's only been in the paper for what, 30 years?
I'm sorry.
It's great.
I remember, I'm kind of an adult.
God, how does your wife do it?
Wow, she's turning on me like a bamboo viper.
If you do mornings, do for a month.
I'll just do it.
Your mind will be mush. It happens, right, Larry?
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland and Christy McVie.
Now I'm
Gretchen McKay on the Post Gazette with the final word on Thanksgiving coming up. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Sheila back for our next episode, but we are with Gretchen McKay, who has been the food editor for a few semesters at the Post Gazette. She's not the restaurant critic. No. We'll make that clear once again.
But I do like to eat out.
Well, 23rd and Vine, we're in the wine bar. Bob Bazzelli, Lou Caputo, and Ray Sefcik are the owners, and we appreciate that letting us hang out here.
It's unfiltered, man. And I like you made a mistake.
I made plenty of mistakes.
You know, being a morning, I know it's like in the morning.
Yes.
30 in the morning. Mm-hmm.
You're up at 3.
You do for a month, your mind's mush for the rest of the
day. I did. You know who I was with last night at the Pittsburgh Speaker Series?
See, he's up at night, too.
Brought to you by University of Pittsburgh. His name is Platon. He's a world-famous photographer. He's done 50 covers of Time magazine.
Nice. Really?
He's done Rolling Stone. He's done Vanity Fair, GQ. And he's done all of these famous portraits. Vladimir Putin in 2007 won him the world contest for a single photograph. And he had these tremendous backstories of meeting these famous people.
Share Platon. Is that his name, Platon?
It's Platon.
But I heard he can't take a selfie at all. It's terrible. Terrible with him.
Terrible itself. Well, it's funny.
Here's my phone. Is he French? I don't know why.
No, he's English.
But
he lives here. He's a citizen of the United States also. He has dual citizenship.
Wow.
But you were taking pictures. You take pictures all the time of food.
I do.
And I understand when I used to do commercials, they used to set for TV, they have a food stylist.
Right.
Who, because it doesn't always translate in a photograph, it doesn't look good sometimes, right?
I style all of my own photos, too. And, I don't know. I think the pictures I take, it's real. If you know, it's natural light. It's in my kitchen. I don't use food coloring. I don't enhance. I take, you know, it's real. But I think when you're looking at a recipe and a picture of the food, I want people to, that's what it really looks like. You know what I mean? So.
That's like a thing in Facebook when people go to dinner and I'll take a picture.
No filter,
put it up.
Well, Dick Roberts, our producer, is very familiar with that world where, I mean, it's really important if you're advertising for food that it looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, just a theory.
Yeah.
So, what did you take pictures of?
What happened?
For the real, no, I mean for this Thanksgiving thing.
I did a story on sides, and I made a fennel gratin, which is delicious with it in a cream sauce. I made a stuffed acorn squash. I did a Brussels sprouts with pomegranate, molasses, and fresh pomegranate seeds.
Sounds great.
I cook a lot, Larry.
Sounds really good. I've never had any of those.
I went to IKEA last week and they had no Swedish meatballs. Apparently there's a shortage because of COVID. So I had to go home and make my own from scratch.
You are so sophisticated in cooking and I know what you're saying. If you do something, you always want to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, Gretchen's not going to go tater tots. That's nothing. You got to go keep going, keep growing.
Right, so you have just to keep challenge yourself
to fennel squash with pomegranate.
What is
fennel?
First
time it's a member of the carrot family, and it sort of looks like celery. It's got a real feathery top, and it's a green stalk, and it's an Italian, a favorite for Italians, and a lot of time it's just sliced and you eat it raw in a salad, but I
That's how I've had it.
Yeah. Just the fennel?
It tastes a little like anise.
Oh. Yes.
Interesting. And if you roast it, it gets really sweet, and it was in with some cream and cheddar cheese, and
that sounds
delicious.
Really good.
Where do you get your recipes?
I get a lot of cookbooks. I find stuff on the web. I just make things from scratch sometimes.
Have you used the goji berry at all in any recipe?
I have, and I did, and I had to get the goji berries on Amazon.
I did too, just last week. I saw
what is a goji berry?
Well, an article. I was watching the show The Blacklist, mm-hmm. and the one character is drinking a drink, and he goes, "This is wolf berry, which is that." Right, that's right. The same berry as goji. He said there's a man who lived 256 years. He's 256 years old, drinking, eating these berries. So I think it's, so I look it up. It's true. It was written in 1930. The New York Times wrote it, and it's, the writer backed up that he claimed he saw
the guy
certificate.
Yoda. Yoda.
200 years old.
256.
No way.
Eating goji berries. Yeah, right. Most people say, no, it's. But the New York Times article, if you look, go online, mm-hmm. he's got a Wikipedia page and everything. This dude. Doesn't look like they were 250, but 256.
He's still alive?
He had work done. No, he passed away.
Oh. Yeah.
He went. It was back in, you know.
He choked to death on the berries.
Yeah, but 256.
I never heard of him.
I know. I didn't either until the show.
256.
That's biblical.
Wikipedia doesn't lie, though.
No. Mm-mm. Not on the internet.
He looks 256.
Everything on the internet is real.
He's got this real mushy little. God, I mean, come on. If you're 200, you're going to start your face. You're going to get some work 200. Done. You're going to get some work.
I don't know, man.
At 200, you are.
He's tired.
Well, 150, you're going to get something. Your eyes are going to drop a little. He looked pretty bad.
So what are you using those for?
I want to go 250, I think.
I can't remember what I put the goji berries in, but they sort of look like little cranberries, right?
Yes.
They're real teeny tiny, and they're sweet. And,
sweet, a little tart. And
you realize there's all these foods that I never heard of as a child.
Oh, yeah.
Like
no kidding.
Like chia seeds in this. What's that other one we talked about?
Chia seeds. They're all right.
I mean, I never
hemp
heard
seeds,
of them. They're supposed to make you, live longer. Everything's supposed to make
everything
you live.
Everything has an antioxidant.
Yeah,
right?
This is the best thing in the world. Honey Nut Cheerios.
Anything's expensive.
Yeah.
We didn't have
expensive.
Any of that as a child.
No. Come on. Imagine mom making handmade quinoa salad.
Powdered milk.
Oh, I had powdered milk.
Carnation instant milk. It was
That's
horrible.
That's how we made our hot chocolate.
Was there? You grew up during the Depression. How old are you?
I grew up on Oleo.
We had a block of cheese and powdered milk.
No, it didn't. We grew up on Oleo.
Oleo, yes.
I didn't have butter till I was an adult.
Really?
I didn't even know there was a difference.
Why?
And that's the truth.
Why didn't you have butter?
Because we, Blue Bonnet Oleo, that's what.
Oh, you didn't believe, your mom didn't believe.
No, we got Oleo.
It's just, listen, we had a lot of kids.
Lard.
I think it was, no, well.
And my dad, with four boys and my sister, he knew if he came home, once they went to the grocery store once a week, we were going to decimate everything.
Right.
So he bought stuff that we wouldn't eat. And then he'd come home and torture us with it. Like, he would come home and open up a sardine can.
Oh, my dad used to.
And he used
that.
To get that key and turn it back. And he knew the minute that seal was cracked, it smelled like fish.
Yeah.
Not good either.
All the cats.
And he'd lay them out with the heads on a piece of bread with lard, or one time Limburger.
Did you ever
which
have
smells like an
dad
outhouse.
Used
really?
To eat Limburger. And he ate anchovies, not sardines, but he would put them on saltine crackers, and it was the grossest.
And we would
thing
just
ever.
Sit there and go,
"Did you have a bite of it?"
No, never had it. Ugh. Never.
My great grandmother lived 102 years old, and she used to eat pig's knuckles and pickled in it, and she'd take them out and just eat all these things. Now,
oh my God,
Grandma, what are you doing there? You know, it was funny. She came over on the boat at 16 years old. My grandma called her Babci, half Polish, half Italian, and her mother was a chef. Like a known chef, and she comes over. So I would be eating these dinners after school that she could make. They were unbelievable, like cherry soup and these souffle. She had this really. My Uncle Ed would say, "Jimmy, you don't understand right now. You're a kid, but you will be craving this food one day. You don't realize what you're eating every day." And she did this it really was a Michelin chef type gourmet meal I was eating as a kid. It was amazing what she could do with not a lot. They knew how to, that era, I guess, they knew how to take.
And she didn't write anything down, I'm guessing.
Did not, no. Yeah. Everything, right? That's that thing. Everything in there.
Yeah.
My grandmother was of Irish descent, 100%, and on my dad's side. And when I got old enough to drive, I went to see her, and she was living alone. My grandfather had passed, and she's talking to me while she's cutting stuff up and putting it in like a stew. And I could see like parts of her hand were going in there.
Right.
I mean, she was just like, it was
just going for it.
And she spoke cigarettes. Had a beer, you know, ashes are falling in there. And she goes, "Honey, do you want to stay for dinner?" I'm like, "Oh, Graham, I would love to, but I can't."
The ashes. You know, when I was my great grandmother, she would make chinina, which is duck's blood soup.
Oh my God, I had that in Bloomfield.
So she would have a duck, and in our little apartment where we lived, I wasn't allowed to have animals around. You know, I love animals, but she'd have a duck in her little apartment. She lived above the American Restaurant on 12th Street. So she'd have it, and every year, the duck would come in right before Easter for about 5 weeks. And I was allowed to feed. I'm fattening up the duck, but I don't know. He's my pet. And I'd give him a name, like Melvin, you know.
It's just traumatic.
Fred or whatever. Yeah, and I'd feed him. And then at the end, when he'd be gone, where's Melvin? And great girl would be stirring the pot. And she goes, Uncle Ed took him to the farm.
To the farm.
So I'm thinking, Melvin is living a happy life at the farm, wonderful life. And I'm eating him like 10 minutes later. And I love it. I love this blood.
You like that?
That's like
I love my grandmother.
Silence
my great
of the
grandmother
lambs.
Made it. It was unbelievable.
We did it.
So
actually,
good.
The only reason I ever ate that, it was part of a Halloween story on scary food.
Wow. Yeah. Well, once
Sarzina. Is that how you say it?
13 years old, chinina. At 13 years old, great grandma told me it was Melvin and Fred. I just couldn't do it again.
No.
I had it once, but 15 years ago at St. Stan's.
I don't think I've ever had that.
It's very sour and nasty.
It was really, the way she made it was.
But I'm curious, you've been doing this a while, Gretchen. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think in your wildest dreams that there would be whole network channels devoted just to food?
No, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. And you get sucked in.
I love watching those shows.
Yeah.
You do get sucked in.
Yeah.
And I don't cook. Like I said, it was just fun watching them.
Do you have a favorite show?
It's great.
Cooking show?
Food show? I don't watch a whole lot of food shows. I do like Beat Bobby Flay. Is one of my favorites, but and the British Baking Show. But you know, I don't know. It's my job. So when I watch TV at night, I want to watch something.
What do you watch?
Succession.
I've heard that's awesome. Really good. Yeah.
And I like to trash it up with The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
You don't strike me as a Real Housewives viewer. You are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the only one I watch. But yeah, I'm a secret trash TV.
Well, totally. My wife will watch that. Sometimes, but the one that gets me is, I told you, Sunday nights when the new season comes out, Walking Dead.
Oh, I never watched
that. That's her ringtone, the theme from the song or the show, which is produced by a Pittsburgher, Greg Nicotero.
Yeah. Every time I go to LA, he shows me where it's amazing their studio where they
his cousin Frank is the comedian.
Painting zombies. You got to go to zombie school, by the way, to be a zombie.
Yeah.
For Walking Dead, you have to go like a couple days. You just can't be a zombie. You
gotta
learn how to be a zombie.
3 a.m. on Sunday night.
Morning show guys exempt.
I'm looking at the clock, and the new episodes start at 9. So about 9, I'll walk through the family room, and all I hear is.
Everybody screams, you're a zombie at that point. Like I said,
why the hell do you watch this every week? You know what's going to happen. They're just going to keep eating people.
They are slow, too.
I think they're real slow.
Because I know I could beat them in a race.
Can't you outrun a zombie?
Yes. That's the intrigue. You're watching it. Not afraid when you're watching because he's so slow. But then they jump out at you.
Anyway.
Every episode.
So any final thoughts on Thanksgiving?
You know, there's been a lot of press on how this is going to be the most expensive Thanksgiving day in history.
Why?
Well, fruit prices are just up dramatically. You know, I think the consumer or what is it? Inflation is up something like 6%. I think it just came
and
out.
And climbing. I just saw it's the worst in like 30 years.
Yeah, it's bad. But people should know that there were initial reports that there weren't going to be any turkeys.
Oh, really?
And they were going to, you know, cost.
Fake news.
Yeah, well, it was going to be really expensive. But people should be reassured. You know, there's plenty of product out there. It might be a little bit more expensive. But you're going to find your turkey. You're going to find your sweet potatoes. You're going to find your cream cheese. You might have to go with an off-brand. If you have to.
But do it in advance. Don't forget Giant Eagle is closing for their team members on Thanksgiving.
Thank God.
That's great for them.
They work hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Through all of this stuff, they've been there. And I don't say that kiddingly. I'm serious.
I see it. I'm regular.
I count on my people. Yeah. Giant Eagle, I do. And they're great.
They
should have a day.
If you ever had a fresh turkey, I mean, I always get the old fat the
Pounds turkey
frozen.
For him.
Pounds turkey. They sold out.
You were talking about Gamey, though.
They sold
I find that slightly
gamey for me. Like, I have to have the old-fashioned frozen for 10-year butterball or whatever, that, you know, this frozen turkey.
Tim and Beverly Pounds.
They're great.
Wonderful people.
Do you feel a little, is it a little gamey for you or not?
I think it tastes more like turkey really tastes.
That's
is
why
the thing.
She doesn't like it.
You know?
Yes.
I've never had a fresh turkey.
Let me introduce you to butterball.
Well, have you ever called Gretchen McKay?
Yeah.
The Butterball Turkey Hotline.
I have not, but I know people do. No shame. You only cook this thing once a year, right?
And when you do, you're Gretchen McVeigh when you call.
McVeigh, that's right. That's secretly. Oh, no.
You make one mistake in 30 years
Love it.
Of broadcasting, and they're going to make a big deal
but
out of it.
I am tomorrow shooting a video with a local chef on how to carve your Thanksgiving turkey, which can vex a lot of people because, again, you do it once a year. It's often, you know, relegated to the male of, you know, head of household. So I know, personally, I don't know how to carve a turkey.
I'm really good.
But she stands, the wife stands next to me, analyzing every cut. It's like,
don't do that.
Either I am or I'm not.
If you want me to carve your turkey.
You want me to carve this thing?
I am masterful. I'm really,
good?
I'm like Dexter.
What are you doing this Thanksgiving? Were you going to be Dexter?
I don't think it's that hard.
Well, listen.
So, but we will have a video on the Post Gazette website.
That's
we have all of our Thanksgiving recipes, including, you know, last minute ones if you are not a planner. And
PostGazette.com, Gretchen McKay. Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks for asking me.
And I just want to share this final story that Dr. John Fung, who used to be here in Pittsburgh, was a transplant surgeon.
Right.
And he was a friend. We played hockey together, charity games. And I said, Doc, I got this idea for TV. What would you do to carve your own turkey as a surgeon?
As a surgeon.
Oh. And you know what he did?
He said,
I got an idea.
Yeah.
I swear to God. He brought us into like an OR.
Right.
Yeah.
And he set it up with the turkey.
Was it cooked?
Yeah, it was cooked.
But he put the turkey on the...
He put the turkey and they had, you know, just like you would if it was a person.
Mm-hmm. Did they use the paddles to bring it back?
Clear.
No, that'd be wild.
But he...
We're losing him.
He carved the turkey
and
explained what he was doing.
Really?
Yes. It was so cool. And it was... Perfect and beautiful.
Tremendous.
And he walked out and his line was, let's tell the family everything went well.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Thanksgiving.
Impressive. That's pretty cool.
All right. Read all about it, the Post-Gazette. Good to see you again, Gretchen.
Good to see you. We'll
catch up with you down the road. And we want to thank Jim Petulski, who does an amazing job with our video and audio equipment. Rick Dolnack, who's about to announce his next film. By the way, I'm still lobbying Jimmy be the exorcist in the Bob Cramner movie.
I'm going to get it. You're pushing it. Good. I think the word's going to get out eventually.
Yeah. What was the name of the film?
The Demon on Bronzeville Road.
Yeah. It's real.
It's
and
real.
You know.
Based on a true story.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, really?
They're making a movie about it. I'm pitching Jimmy to be the exorcist. And we want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer. Sheila Hyman will be back our next episode. And thanks again to 23rd and Vine, the guys here on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge. Download the free app Odyssey, AUDACY, or go to kdkradio.com. Larry Richard, Unfiltered, with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Happy Halloween days.
Happy holidays. Happy Turkey Day.
There you go, bud.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.